Good morning.
Good morning.
We've got a number of visitors with us today. We're very glad that you've taken time out of your schedule to come worship with us. We've got some people locally. We've got some people from Tennessee and Alabama and Washington and Florida. We've got a little bit of every part of the country covered, and we even have some people from here in Las Vegas, and we're glad that you came to worship with us. If there's anything we can do, if you need a ride back to where you're staying or anything, be sure and let us know. We would love to help you in any way we can, and consider yourself an honored guest. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. This was the scripture reading. Dick read it a while ago. Appreciate him reading that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was writing to the Christians in Corinth. What a city Corinth was. It was a coastal town in the Mediterranean, in southern Greece, and it was a destination city. It was a trade mecca. It was a rough city. Not a lot of places you'd want to be caught in Corinth after dark. Probably a lot of places you wouldn't want to be caught in Corinth in the light, even. But it was a city that was steeped in sin. I know it's kind of hard for us to imagine us living in Las Vegas. Imagine what Corinth could have been like. It was a city steeped in sin. Everywhere you looked in Corinth was a distraction to pull you away to sin. Homosexuality was rampant. Fornication was rampant. Debauchery, just everywhere you looked. Like I said, it's kind of hard for us to imagine here living in Las Vegas in 2019 what things might have been like in Corinth. But Paul writes to the Christians there, starting in verse 9, and he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." In a lot of ways, these few passages is the story of the Bible. It's the story of sin separating man from God, the scary consequences, but the way out. And it's all wrapped up in just three verses. It's the story that is repeated time and time and time again throughout the Bible. It starts out, Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" He's pulling no punches here. It's very clear. It's a rhetorical question. You've got to be pretty dense not to know what this answer is. And in case you don't know, just in case there's a few people like Bruce that's not the sharpest guy around, just in case, I'm getting ready to tell you. I'm gonna lay it out clear and simple for you. And the thing is, he knows them. He knows his audience. And he's painting a very clear picture for them. It reminds me of Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, where Jesus is telling the people, you know, many will call, you know, will cry out, "Lord, Lord," on that great day. "Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name?" And Jesus will reply to them, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." He told them, "I never knew you. You're saying you did all this stuff. I don't know you. You're claiming to be followers. I don't know you. Depart from me, you who practice, you who live in lawlessness." And I just imagine, could you imagine that great and glorious day of judgment, expecting salvation? You're on your way thinking heaven's gate's going to be open. Keep out. Not for you. Turn around, go back where you came from. This is, you're not welcome in. That's what Paul is saying. Do you guys not realize the unrighteous will not enter the kingdom of heaven? And he follows it up with, don't be deceived. You're going to hear lots of things in the world. I'm not lying to you. You know me. You can trust me. I'm not lying to you. Now, you're going to hear lots of things from lots of different religious type people. Don't be deceived. These gods and goddesses throughout your community, the statues, the temples, the altars that are so rampant in your community that you think is the goddess of this or the god of that, that's not going to save you. Don't be deceived. The actions have consequences. That's life. That's the system God created. Whether you even believe in God or not, that's a law of man. You know, when we're born into the world, this is something that we've got to live by. You know, you cannot damage your body and expect to get out of it okay. You cannot drive your car 70 miles an hour into a brick wall and not think something's going to happen. There's consequences for actions. He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's the action and the consequences. This also is an age-old story in the Bible, that sin separates us from God. Paul told the Christians in Rome the same thing. Romans 3:23, that all have sinned. He's not calling out just the people in Corinth. He's not telling the people in Corinth something unique and different. Everybody else that I've ever encountered, they're fine. They're safe at home. But you guys, you've got something to worry about. He's not doing that. He told the same thing to the Romans. Miles away, to the Christians in Rome. He wrote in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. That separates us. And talk about consequences. A few chapters over in Romans, he said in Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. At least spiritual death, and oftentimes worldly death. And such were some of you. On that great day, when we stand before the throne of God, and everything is pointed out to us, is he going to see an alien sinner? Or is he going to see a loving, obedient child of his covered with the blood of his son? That's the choices. Paul says, and such were some of you. That list that he just laid out for them, I'm sure it got in that, when they read his letter in their congregation, I'm sure it hit most of them right between the eyes. But here's a, he's driving it home and giving them a twinkle of hope, and some were. Such as you. Some of you used to be like that. But you've changed. You're not like that anymore. I bet you we've got stories. We're not going to share them. At least right here. I bet you we've got stories that would curl toes about some of us. We could start and stop with me. I don't want to do that. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You're not like that anymore. Amen. You were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. That's the good news. I love happy endings. I love the "and they lived happily ever after" stories. This is a "and they lived happily ever after." Amen. You get all worked up during the story about the giant or about the ogre that's going to chase them. And you're just, are they going to get out of this okay? The cowboys are surrounded. They're down to their last bullet. And then the cavalry comes. I love "and they lived happily ever after." You used to be like those people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you were washed. You were, when you're washed, you're cleansed. And did you get behind your ears? Yes. Did you get those places you can't reach? Yes. Because we were baptized. We were baptized in the blood of God's Son. Amen. We were sanctified. When we were baptized and cleansed, we were set apart as holy. God couldn't take us if we weren't. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. Freed from that sin. And some of us used to be like that, but we've been baptized. In the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of our God. A lot of people will go through different ceremonies. Just because they do doesn't mean they're doing it for the right reason. He's telling them, you were cleansed, you were baptized in the name of the Lord. Not for any other reason. There is no other way. There is no other way. If you've tried to be cleansed by any other way, it did not work. Well, can I just say the sinner's prayer? I thought if I did this, I was always told that if you did such and such, you could be saved. Or grandma used to say, there's no other way than by in the name of the Lord. In Acts 4:12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We can't do it by our own name. We can't do it ourselves. We can't work hard enough. We can't be good enough to do it by myself. We can't do it by following somebody else. It's only Jesus, amen, the Son of God. And it's that age-old story. Paul wrote, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If you have not been washed, and if you are still in that category that some of you rank in, you need to be cleansed. You need to be justified. You need to be sanctified. That happens upon baptism. When you give your life, when you've heard the word of God, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you believe in God, and when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior. John 8:24, we have to believe. We have to confess that belief. Matthew 10:32. That if we confess that belief to others, to man, Jesus will confess us to his Father. We have to repent of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And that's what they did. That's what the Corinthians did. And some were such as you. You used to be, but you've changed. You repented. And we have to be baptized. Jesus made it very clear in Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the beginning. That's the beginning. Revelation 2:10, remain faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. It's at baptism that we become a Christian. It's not a once saved, always saved. It's not a, I checked that off and I don't have to do anything. We got to remain faithful until death. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers, if you would like to set up a study, if you would, if you need to repent of sins publicly, if it's a private nature, by all means, repent to God privately. If it's of a public nature, repent publicly. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known while Curtis leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.